it's great. I love it. Some funny little things you can touch in there too. We can go past.
Right, that's Tim Entwistle, and we're about to enter a garden in his Royal Botanic Gardens in Melbourne, chock-a-block with cacti and succulents and creatures of the arid lands.
And it's also, Jonathan, not very often you have a new botanic garden or a new garden in a garden like this. We're 174 years old, and this arid garden is an entirely new design and entirely new plants, which I can tell you about.
Well, and this is wonderful because the last time we had a little stroll like this, which was a winter's journey in the Schubertian tradition, and here we are in spring, but back in winter, this was... You'd just turned the first sods for this. It was the apple of your eye. You were quite excited.
That's right. I was imagining what it was going to look like, and it has exceeded expectations. It really has. And when we get into this garden, you'll see not only a beautiful design, and I think the way it's been put together is fantastic, but cacti and succulents... some people love them and some people find them a little bit harsh and strange, but I think people coming to see this garden will see the beauty of them. It's the colour, like the textures. There's a lot in flower. In fact, at this time of year, which is late spring, early summer, it's a time when cacti are really coming into flower.
And as an educative thing for Australians, gardeners in an increasingly potentially warm and dry environment in some parts of the country, this is really interesting to see these possibilities.
Yeah, these plants are really good ones to think about for a climate, in particularly in the southern parts of Australia, how it's going to change the next, say, 50 or 70 years when we've done the modelling. These are not the only plants you can grow, but succulents and cacti are very beautiful. And part of the education, in fact, it's interesting you talk about that. If we go down into the garden,
let's have a look.
I'll show you something that'll educate you.
So many things would do that.
Right. But first note, lots of upright columns of cacti. So we've deliberately put lots of the same species in rows and try to make the aesthetic of them stand out. So it's not just one of each.
But there's beautiful variation of form. There's these sort of variegated aloe type plants here, or something a bit more wispy against those columns, some rocks. It's beautifully landscaped.
Yes, and the lovely kind of wiggly things in the background with some of these succulents on tall elongated stems. So yeah, it's a lot of variety.
It's an extraordinary amount of variety. Oh, look at these flowers.
So these are sort of long, sticky, outy pink bits at the moment, but they're going to open
Tim
up.
Tim is a botanist.
Well, look, they're little botanical bits on the very ends of them. But so these ones, long, pink and sticky, outy, but over here, you've got these bright oranges, vivid reds. The colours actually can be just quite striking.
That vivid red down there low is quite remarkable.
Oh, it's a beautiful one, and that's those flowers will probably open up for a day or so and close, then be replaced by another flower. So you do get this continual refreshing. And some of the flowers are for bat pollinators. They're often a little bit musty odoured and they can be white coloured. Others are for birds. So it's all about pollinators. But look at the variety of textures too, just the colours, the greys, the blue greens, the different spines.
Yes.
So a cactus spine is its leaf perhaps, or what should have been its leaf. So a cactus, if you're looking at it, that column is the stem that's green and doing all the work for the plant, and these spines are what probably used to be leaves or little scales beneath leaves, so they're adaptions to them.
So what's the function though in a hot arid environment of that spiny leaf? I guess that minimalises evaporation for one thing.
Exactly. If you look over here, look at this hairy one. Let's walk over to this one.
This is a hairy one.
It's very hairy.
It's like a Dr. Seuss cactus.
And the flowers. Look at the flowers coming out the top there. Isn't that great? Little green bits sticking out of
gorgeous.
Pink. Yeah. And that one, yes, the hairs and the spines are probably to keep it cool during the day.
Yep.
Some of them are to keep animals from eating the cacti, so they do the obvious thing, the same reason I can't touch it. You know, an animal can't go and chew it up, so there's a bit about that. Reflecting light. There's a whole lot of different reasons cacti will have those, but essentially it's a bit of protection and a bit of cooling.
In terms of what we see of this type of plant in this country, this must be a fairly extraordinary collection.
Yeah, it is. I mean, lots of botanic gardens have a cactus garden or a cactus and succulent garden.
But this variety...
Yeah, look, having this variety easy. Having one also that's built like this, we tend to just have one of each and a bit of a sign in front of it.
Yep.
So this is a lot more about a design. In fact, this design created by Andrew Laidlaw, who's our landscape architect, is meant to be like the cells inside an aloe. We went past an aloe earlier on.
Okay.
And these sort of shapes, and you see these little patterns on the side of the
it's almost like a wall. Seating area. It's a wall that divides sections of the garden, which is filled with pebbles as it's... What do you call that? It's
when it's filled with pebbles?
Yeah, it's like a mulch, but
like
it's rocks.
It is a rock. No, a rock mulch, you're right, and it is a protective layer, and it sets off the colour.
Yep.
But it's a bit like a parterre, and we've got little raised gardens on those seats. These little micro gardens are beautiful. See the pinks?
They are gorgeous, just beside the city. I mean, you're right about the parterre too, and with the repetition of form in those areas, very parterre-like.
Yeah, and there are some little flowering plants in between the cacti too, so there's some variety here to make it interesting, and you can see the different textures. There's also a couple little sculptural elements, and there's a bit of interpretation explaining to people why cacti are interesting plants and how they survive in deserts, how we got the collection here.
What happens when the first little kitty face plants into one of those?
Well, they will not. Well, we'll have some little gentle signs about saying these are prickly, and then we'll explain why they're prickly. And there's one over here you can, if you want a face plant, you can, but you can just touch it.
Okay.
Here, let's. So you see, you can touch this one, and that gives you a sense of...
It's not a real one.
Yeah, but you see, look, safe but perfectly prickly. So we're trying to help it. But it's a good point you raised, because when we were putting these in, there's a couple of spots where you need to brush past or go through slightly prickly areas. Now, how much do we keep people away from the wild nature, and how much we let them experience a little bit? So where it's safe to just sort of touch.
It's an interesting balance in a botanic garden. This is experiencing that plant in all the possible ways is sort of what it's about.
Yes, exactly. And what's interesting too is the ones with the big prickles in some way are sort of safer because you see them, you're not going to touch them.
The furry ones are a bit gnarly.
You've learned that already. Okay, the furry ones are gnarly.
I was a very small boy that bum planted into one of those.
Oh, did you?
I know.
Who spent the time getting them all out of your bum? Maybe I won't ask. And around the spine, the base of the spines, they have these little tiny, they're called glochids, and they're very tiny, like little splinters. They're very hard to get out.
I'm finding this conversation a bit triggering.
Sorry. Well, let me point out another thing in this wonderful collection. Again, we look back over the colours and the shapes and sizes. Yep. Most of these are from the Americas, so most of them came from that early collecting expedition. But there are also amongst them plants which come from Africa, and they're not actually called cacti, they're called euphorbs or euphorbia. And one of the interesting things around the world is you get these plants that look like cacti in America, you get the true cacti, and then in Africa you get plants that have adapted and almost got the same shape, but they're totally unrelated to the cacti. They just happen to live in a desert.
Just that environmental circumstance brought the same result.
One over in the corner there, and if we go up close to it, you'll see it's not quite the same design when you get up close, but from a distance, it looks like a cactus. Oh, there's one here. This is a euphorbia from Africa, or it's in that group, and it's just a bit different. See, the flowers are not those big showy flowers, they're little tiny things. So
and the spines themselves, too, are not as pronounced, and you could almost fondle that.
You could, but I don't want to take you back to that experience. Let's walk right through the collection and we'll go out the other side.
So we've left the succulents behind us and re-entered the green sward of the gardens.
We're walking down one of it's my favourite view, but it's such a long view towards the city. So you're looking out to the west. Yes, you're looking west towards the city. Part of the Melbourne Gardens, what makes it distinctive is these voids. So let's talk about the mass and the void. You've got the mass of the garden beds on each side and this lovely green lawn. You know, as we go into summer, we've been in the Arrow Garden, which is one extreme and a beautiful extreme. And we now can be taken into this soft green area down towards Fern Gully, where it's maybe 6 to 8 degrees cooler all through summer.
And this time too, late spring in this part of the country, you know, green garden is the peak, isn't it? Everything has had a burst of growth. It's had some sun and some rain, and it's never going to feel better.
No, you're quite right. It's an in-between sort of transition period. You really feel like you've got the leaves back on the trees, very lime green. The summer just around the corner, and the grass is perfect, and the turf is perfect. So we're spending our whole time, there'll be someone mowing
constantly.
Past any minute, that's yes. Correct. And if we look down towards, you can see in the distance a couple of Wollamai pines.
Yes.
And
with some beautiful, bright new growth.
Yeah, exactly. And that's come on the last month. That's typical this time of year. And down near the lake there, we've got another new garden, in fact, called a sensory garden. So do you want to just have a look at that one? And, the last garden we looked at was prickly and not a garden you would touch. This is one where we actually want you to touch the flowers. In fact, we're going to encourage people to go in barefoot eventually when we tidy the site up a little bit.
You hippie.
I know. But at the moment, it's still a work site, so I'll have to get a few of the nails and bits and pieces out of there. But the idea is you can see the beauty of you'll see the colours. There'll be lots of things with beautiful coloured flowers. There'll be textures. The bamboo is still there. So I've left a patch of bamboo that used to be there, and you'll get that sound of the wind through bamboo, and of course the birds nearby here. So the idea is, every sense will be touched.
That's, in the gardens, for all their beauty and joy, they are a sort of a formal space where you keep to the path, don't go touching that. So to have that as part of this is really enriches the experience.
Yeah, and we've got a few more bits like this. So even within the fern gully behind me, we've built some smaller gardens which only hold maybe a half a dozen people at most. Mm. And they're more intimate. We tend to have big grand gardens here in Melbourne. So this more intimate space is where you might sit, and there's a moss garden in there. So again, touching, smelling, it's all part of that experience. Look, it's a lovely, beautiful garden. What I can't help but notice from where we're standing, Jonathan, here, is we're looking at a slightly dead-looking gum tree in the middle, and I point that out because it's a rainbow gum, and it has the most beautiful bark, I think, in the world. We saw it once before we passed by. This is
a real calendar tree, isn't it? With the seasons, the colours will change.
It will. I think it's a great example of we're going to make sure this tree is a centrepiece of this garden, but we're going to have to work on it. We'll have to mollycoddle it and make sure we can get it.
No pressure tree.
No, that's right. I'm going to keep coming back each day and make sure it's all right. Get a little water just to make sure.
Tim, thank you for that spring visit and so much afoot here in the Royal Botanic Gardens in Melbourne.
Well, that's right. So, not only that Arrow Garden open now, but, probably in a couple of weeks, the Sensory Garden.
New South Wales listeners, the border's about to open. Come on down.
Look,
Queensland too.
Absolutely. Look forward to seeing everyone here.